As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, if you were here, I think, 3 weeks ago, you might remember that I began our exploration for this term of discipleship and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You might remember we talked about who we follow, whether we follow people on social media, we follow a football team, and who we learn from, who we have as an example. We talked about the fact that we use this word disciple, discipleship in church and in Christian circles, but what do we know what it means? And we talked about the fact that at its simplest, it means a disciple of Jesus is someone who follows Jesus and learns from Jesus. And I gave a bit of an overview of how we think about discipleship here at All Saints, which is written down in a little leaflet with discipleship on the front. I might even have a copy. No, I haven't got a copy up here. Why haven't I got a copy? I have. Tiding. I've got too much stuff on my lectern. That's the problem. It's all laid out in this. Hopefully, we gave them all out a few weeks ago. If you haven't got one, please do get hold of one and have a read. As I introduced it, I suggested that one of the first questions we might want to ask ourselves when thinking about discipleship is, how close am I to Jesus today? How close am I to Jesus? If we're going to be following Jesus and learning from Jesus, we need to be quite close. So how close am I today? And there are as many answers to that as there are individuals in the world. We all have our individual journey of faith, our own way of walking with Jesus. But having said that, I think it can be helpful for us to have sometimes categories to think about things like this. So, as an example, if somebody asked me how good I am at French, I might say, not great, get by. But that's not very informative, is it? That doesn't really tell you about how good my French is. But if somebody asked me, gave me four kind of options and said, okay, is your French good enough to A, order breakfast, B, have a short conversation about my family, C, have a sensible discussion in a workplace, or D, discuss the works of Flaubert, I could say, well, mostly A with perhaps a little bit of B. And you see, they're not complete descriptions of all the possibilities of how good your French is, but it gives a framework for a conversation. And actually, if I was going to want to start French classes, go to evening classes, do French evening classes still exist? I don't know. Yes, I'm getting a nod of that. If I wanted to start French evening classes, that would be quite a helpful bit of information for me to know which class to go into, wouldn't it? Where to start, if I wanted to improve my French, knowing where I am now is actually quite important. So, we've been talking a bit about four descriptions that might be helpful for us to have conversations about how close we are, how close we feel to Jesus. And we've talked about exploring Christ, growing in Christ, close to Christ, and Christ-centered. And Nick talked about the first two of these a couple of weeks ago. If you weren't around and you want to catch up on what he said, we stream now on Facebook Live, but we keep them archived on Facebook, on YouTube, on our podcast channel, so you can go back and listen or see what he said about those. But this week, we're thinking about the second two. We're thinking about being close to Christ and being centered on Christ. Now, someone who is close to Christ, might say these kind of things to describe themselves. They might say that their relationship with Jesus is part of their everyday life. That they're confident in God's presence and God's power. They connect with God daily through spiritual practices and are active in serving others both in but also beyond the church. That might be somebody who would say that they're close to Christ. Now, somebody who is Christ-centered, they might say things like this, that their relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in their life. That they would risk everything for God so that others can meet Jesus. Quite often, people like this feel under-challenged by the church. sometimes frustrated with the church. They'd say that they love telling other people about their love for Jesus, both practically and through telling people about him. And just to help us to understand those two kind of descriptions a little bit further, I thought we'd have some Bible characters. We'd look at the Bible and see if we could meet some people who might kind of help us to understand this. And in our second reading that Pauline brought for us, we met Martha and Mary. These are two sisters, and they lived in a village called Bethany, which is just outside Jerusalem, with their brother Lazarus. You might have heard of Lazarus, yeah? This was his sisters. And this is the first time in the Gospel accounts that we meet them. We meet them on three different occasions, and this is the first time that we meet them. But I don't know about you, but it's a very short story, so you don't know loads about it, but it seems to me that there are clues there that this is a pre-existing relationship. There's a relationship there already. Martha knows Jesus well enough to want to welcome him into her home and to kind of make dinner for him. She calls him Lord. So there's already some kind of understanding that this is a teacher that she respects. And Mary obviously knows him well enough to want to sit at his feet and listen to him. Can't be certain, but it seems to me that it's quite likely there was a relationship there already. And it looks like quite a close relationship for both of them. They've probably heard him speak before. They've spent time with him. They've grown to know him and to love him and to follow him. Now, sometimes when we read this story, and when I've preached on it, to be fair, but when I've heard others preach on it as well, Martha comes in for quite a lot of flack. Yeah? Perhaps a little unfairly. She is close to Jesus. She welcomes him in. She serves him and his friends. She's doing a lot right. She does get grumpy with Mary for not pulling her weight and complains to Jesus. But actually, if we read it carefully, we can notice that Jesus doesn't tell Martha off for what she's doing. He encourages her to come closer, to let go of the fears and anxieties that she's holding on to, and to come even closer and to center her whole life on him, as Mary is doing. Now, for those of us, like me, who are activists, who want to be up and doing the whole time, this can be quite difficult to hear. Because it feels like, well, I want to get on with stuff. I want to be doing stuff. I don't want just to be sitting. Sitting sounds quite boring, really. But it seems to me that it is not actually the activity itself that Jesus challenges. It's the root cause of the activity. If we're doing loads and are very active because we're fired up with a love for Jesus and we want to tell that love and show that love to as many people as possible in as many different ways as possible, then that's a very different thing to doing loads and being very active because we're afraid that otherwise it won't get done, or because we don't think other people will do it properly. You see, they look the same, the activity looks the same, but they're very different things because they come from very different places in our hearts. And Jesus always looks at the heart. In our other reading, we heard about Stephen. Now, early in the life of the early church, there was a dispute about who ought to sort out the catering. Isn't it kind of reassuring? There were complaints that some of the widows of Greek descent were missing out on the daily food distribution. And the apostles, like Jesus' 12 that had followed, the 12 ones that we know the names of, they said that they shouldn't be diverted from the task of preaching to sort out catering issues and ask the church to choose 7 people who could just deal with it, please. And Stephen was one of those chosen. Turns out he was quite a good preacher as well. Not only that, he was full of the Holy Spirit and totally centered on Jesus. And this prompted persecution and opposition, and Stephen was arrested. He knew that he was in mortal danger. He knew what had happened to Jesus. And if you got the notices earlier in the week and you actually read ahead to chapters, the bit that's published in the notices that was the reading for this morning, this middle bit of chapter 7, which didn't make any sense because it kind of started halfway through a sentence, because I put a misprint on the notices, entirely my fault. It was chapter 6 was the right reading. But if you read that bit of chapter 7 and the rest of it, you find a power-filled sermon, a laying out of how Jesus fulfilled the scripture, that Jesus was the Messiah, God's chosen and anointed one sent to his people. And this really wound up the religious rulers, and they were furious. But Stephen is oblivious. He looks up and he sees this vision of heaven. He sees Jesus standing next to his Father's throne. His face is shining and he tells everybody what he can see. It is too much for the court. And they drag him out and stone him to death. As he died, he echoed Jesus' words from the cross. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Forgive them. Stephen, you see, was completely Christ-centered. He lived, breathed, and died with Christ at the center of all that he was, all that he said, and all that he did. Stephen was completely Christ-centered. In this country, we are rarely pushed to those extremes, but we do have Christian brothers and sisters around the world who right now, as we are sat here this morning, are facing this kind of decision about what they are going to do, about how they are going to live their lives as followers of Jesus in the face of this kind of persecution. It really is a daily question of life and death. As I was thinking about this, being Christ, close to Christ and centered on Christ, one of the things I found in my life is that at different times I feel like I get closer to Jesus and I feel pretty Christ-centered, but then things happen or life changes, situations comes along and all of a sudden I find myself in a place where God feels a long way away. And I might be doing the things that look like I'm close to Christ, but I don't feel like it. And so I say again, this is not, I've said this a couple of weeks ago, this is not like different colour belts in martial arts. It's not like piano grades. It's not about us ticking a box and once we're there, we're sorted. This is about giving us language to have good conversations about our relationship with Jesus, so that we can support each other, so that we can pray for each other, so that we can get closer to Jesus together, so that we can understand where we are now, so that we can make progress towards getting closer to Jesus, which is what we talk about at All Saints, being called to be closer to Christ. As I was thinking about this week, I was thinking, what would it look like if our prayers were shaped by our understanding of where we were with Jesus right now? What if we prayed things like, God, I want to explore what it means to get closer to Jesus, but I'm not sure you're there. Will you show yourself to me? Or, God, I want to grow in Christ. Will you deepen my relationship with Jesus? Help me to see the Holy Spirit at work in my life. Oh God, I really want to be close to Christ. Help me to be aware of your presence and to serve others. Or at the riskier end, God, I want my life to be centered on Christ. Help me to let go of the fear and anxiety and give everything over to Jesus. What we'd look like if our prayers, our conversations were shaped by this language of being closer to Jesus and getting closer to Jesus as we follow him and learn from him. So, we've had a bit of a think about these four ways of describing perhaps how we are, where we are in our relationship with Jesus. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about the practical things that we can do to move closer to Jesus. We know we might know where we are now, but we want to get closer. So what do we do? Well, we've got some practical suggestions, and we're going to be exploring those together over the coming weeks. But as part of this kind of whole church focus on discipleship, the Mission and Discipleship Action Group thought it would be really useful if we kind of had a snapshot of where we as a church family feel we are now. And that's not just for the sake of it. Part of it is so that it encourages each of us to actually do the thinking we're talking about. But also part of it is around shaping our teaching programme. So if we get these surveys back and we discover that there are gaps and people are feeling, I'm not quite sure how to do that, we can shape our teaching programme, our sermons, our small group work, so that we can fill those gaps and support each other. So I'm hoping as you came in, everybody was given a survey. Yeah, wave them at me. If you don't have one, we are going to have a couple minutes now. We're actually going to have to, this is not a take it away with you and bring it back later. I know what happens if we do that. We are actually going to have a little bit of time now. You actually have a think and a pray and a fill it in. And then you can fold it in half and put it on the table as you leave. If you haven't got one, or if you need a pen, if you could wave your hand, I'm sure one of my lovely wardens or assistant wardens will bring something along to you. That would be great. They are anonymous, so don't be shy. But the idea is that it will help you think. Perhaps you might want to talk about it in your small group, you might want to talk about it with your friends. But we'll collect all these in, and then we'll share the overall results towards the end of this sermon series, a little bit closer to Christmas. And then we're going to repeat it in the future, so we can see, are we making progress? Are we as a church getting closer to Jesus? So let me pray for us, then we're going to have a couple of minutes. I'm actually not going to ask the musicians to come and play while we do this, because I want them to have the opportunity to fill it in as well. I thought about this, you see. Father God, I thank you for your call on this church to focus on getting closer to Jesus and going to others. And as we fill these surveys in, as we think and talk about our discipleship, about following and learning from Jesus, would you help us to engage with this and to heed your call? Amen.